Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let me go through these very quickly for you guys. We are going to be joined by Ryan Green in Jacksonville coming up in about 15 minutes. These are the most popular player props for Monday Night Football. Number 5, the under on Trevor Lawrence passing yards at 220. Over on Xavier Worthy receiving yards, 51.5. Over on Travis Hunter receiving yards at 27.5. What a low number for Travis Hunter. Travis Etienne, his over on rush yards at 63.5. Let's stop right there. I'm not touching over on Travis Etienne. If there's one thing I know about the Chiefs defense, it is that they will take Travis Etienne out of this game. I know that. I've seen them do this far too many times when it comes to running backs. I just wouldn't touch the number. Now, could he potentially help them out of the backfield? They throw it to him, a little swing pass. Could he get involved in the passing attack? Sure. But if you were talking about Trevor Lawrence turning around, handing the ball off, and Etienne really being a problem for the Chiefs, I got to be on the other side of that. I've seen them do a fantastic job of just eliminating those kind of backs. Rob, I think they'll do a really good job against him. This is not to diminish the kind of player that I think he is. I think he is a versatile, do-everything kind of back. He can run it a little bit, catch it out of the backfield a little bit. He's a very productive player. I just don't see him really hurting Kansas City tonight.
I mean, I like Trevor Etienne. I mean, there's no reason to dislike him. But think about what the Chiefs have done this season against running backs. We think Derrick Henry is probably better than Travis Etienne. The Chiefs, now probably the Ravens, but the Chiefs shut down Henry. We think that Saquon Barkley is a better back than Travis Etienne. The Chiefs did a good job this year on Saquon Barkley. So, like, it's not a disrespect to Travis Etienne. I just don't expect much from tonight. The Chiefs defense seems to do that. What's the old verbiage? Make them play one-handed. The Chiefs seem to do a good job of taking away the run. It's the old Gunther analogy. You take away the run, you take the head off of the snake or whatever he used to say. I don't have any fear of Etienne going off tonight. And if we're on Tuesday talking about Travis Etienne was dominant, we're probably talking about a Chiefs loss, because I think if you try to make Trevor Lawrence beat you by himself, which the Chiefs have done with other quarterbacks this year in the NFL, I don't think Trevor Lawrence is good enough to beat the Chiefs. So I am not at all worried about Etienne, only because of the Chiefs' history of playing against good running backs just this season alone.
The most popular player prop for Monday Night Football is Xavier Worthy over under 2.5 rush yards. You can grab that. That to me kind of seems like a no-brainer for this reason. I think he gets multiple carries in this game. Just last week, he was their leading rusher. I think we've seen the explosiveness. And sometimes you just got to manufacture touches. So you just got to make sure that you get him the ball. I don't care if it's an end around, a jet sweep, a screen play. You just have to figure out a way. Now, maybe the game plan is altered a little bit by the ankle injury, but I think you need, at least for right now, until you get Rashee Rice back, until you get him acclimated into the offense, I don't really think you have a choice. I think you got to use Xavier Worthy in a lot of different ways and be creative in how you use him. I actually really like that. I would take the over on 2.5 rush yards and just hope that you get one of those plays to break, kind of like last week. You ran that little reverse. It was a little bit of a crease. He ended up getting 30 yards. It's the easy cash for you. They also normally do this early on in the game. I'm going to assume that Xavier Worthy gets at least two carries in this game. If he gets two opportunities, I think he gets at least 3 yards. I love the over on that one. I actually think that number's a little bit too low.
First off, that number's comically low. I get why it's low. He's a wide receiver and it's a running number. I get it. We can play the cut. It's in the system. Mitch Holtis last week, around this time, I guess not quite a full week ago, we asked him about the run game, and what did he say? The Chiefs don't just use running backs. They have a lot of players who do a lot of different things, and he mentioned Xavier Worthy as part of that, you know, culture change, that shift that can get the running game going. He said you can get him and Breshard Smith on end arounds and jet sweeps and things like that that get the offense going. So 2.5 yards, you basically need him to get a carry, because maybe this is wrong by me. I feel like Xavier Worthy is getting a carry tonight. He's getting 3 yards. You can go to the window and cash your ticket. The question will be, do the Chiefs run him, or do you get screwed in a gambling sense? Do you get screwed by the idea that it's a catch and a pop pass, and suddenly what was a run play by definition ends up being a 3 yard pass?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Someone says, is that 2.5 rush yards or carries? No, it is 2.5 rush yards for Xavier Worthy. I just think I don't have enough confidence in the Chiefs' run game that if Xavier Worthy is not going to be a part of their run game, I just don't believe that they're going to run the football successfully then tonight. I think he has to be a part of their run game. And I get the ankle injury, but if he's healthy enough to be able to run routes and catch passes, he's definitely healthy enough for you to give him the ball once or twice on a running play and see what he could do and manufacture a touch. Let me give you guys the anytime touchdowns. Xavier Worthy is number 5 at plus 150. Juju Smith-Schuster, number 4 at plus 450. Tyquan Thornton at plus 400. He is number 3. Travis Kelce is at plus 185. And then Travis Etienne, he is at plus 100. Those are the 5 most popular anytime touchdowns bet for this game. Rob, let's talk a little bit about the run game. Let's talk about it from the Chiefs' perspective in Breshard Smith. I mean, this was something that they said last week. They said that they wanted to see his role expand in the offense. Well, it is the next week in the National Football League, and I certainly want to see what that means for the Kansas City Chiefs, what that means for Breshard Smith, and how they plan on using him in this matchup. He just hasn't really been on the field a whole lot so far this season. I get it. He's a young guy. I mean, he's only been on the field for 40 snaps. That's 15% of their offensive plays so far this season. But if you want to do a game-by-game snap count, how it worked, he was on the field for 8, 5, 8, and then last week he was on the field for 19 snaps. That was good for around 25% of the offense. If you can figure out a way to kind of keep it at that 25, maybe get it to 25, 30%, you throw it to him out of the backfield a couple of times in this matchup, you give him one or two carries, and that's how you're going to kind of play the month of October. I think that's a really good use of it, and you get to a point where November, December, when the games get more important, you kind of settle in on what his role can potentially be. One of the things that I'm really going to be looking for, one of the things that I really want to see in this offense is, how does Breshard Smith look? I feel like he gives you the biggest sort of room for growth right now in the run game, and that's just, quite frankly, getting him more involved in the offense.
I really hope the Chiefs have Breshard Smith on the Isaiah Pacheco take a grown man jobs plan. Because remember, when Isaiah Pacheco was a rookie and was liked by Chiefs fans 3 years ago, it was week 9. Pacheco finally overcame Edwards-Helaire and became the number one running back on the depth chart. He was the primary ball carrier at that point. He got more carries. He got more snaps. He took the job away from Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It took 9 weeks. And at that point, I feel like most Chiefs fans were like, oh, Pacheco is better than Edwards-Helaire. And they still kind of slow played him, and they still kind of made it week by week. And then by week 9, it clicked. It was over. Pacheco had jumped Edwards-Helaire on the depth chart. Now, I hope the Breshard Smith thing happens faster, but I think we are experiencing the same thing, just a different time. Breshard Smith, maybe by week 9 or 10, is going to be the primary back on this team. He's got more juice. He's got more, you know, ball-catching ability. He's got more make-a-man-miss. I think he might be better in space than any of the other running backs on the Chiefs roster, but the Chiefs are slow to these things. Is that an Andy Reid problem, Matt Nagy problem? I don't know, but it does feel like he's on the Pacheco plan, which is week 7, 8, 9, somewhere in that window. Me and you are going to be screaming from the heavens, why is he not running back 1? And eventually, I think he does take the job. Expect more usage and snaps tonight, but I don't know he's going to be a true running back one until later in the season.
Yeah, I mean, one of my fears in this game is just something that we have talked about a lot so far this season is my fear in this is that they'll just be incredibly one-dimensional, and that's why the offense stalls. It's not a shock to me that the offense performed as well as they did when they had their biggest rushing play of the season. Like, it just opens things up for them against the Giants game. So 2 games ago, I mean, Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt, they got 20 carries between the two of them. I know we disagree on Andy doesn't want to run the football. I mean, Isaiah Pacheco got 10 carries. Kareem Hunt got 2 carries. Between the two of them, they ran the ball 20 times for 79 yards. It's just, they don't have a lot of explosiveness in their run game. And when that's the case, and you're asking Pat to do more and continue to carry this attack, and they're one-dimensional, I think that's where you see their offense gets into a little bit of trouble. I just want to see Breshard Smith just infused in this offense a little bit more, some creativity and figuring out ways to get him the ball. I just think that is your biggest room for growth. I think that's where you got a little bit of juice and a little bit of pop in a run game that just desperately needs it at this point. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Ryan Green of 1010XL in Jacksonville. We'll get their perspective on Monday Night Football. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to head to Jacksonville, Florida, to be joined by Ryan Green of 1010XL in Jacksonville. Ryan, man, happy to have you pop on today.
Carrington, how are you, buddy?
Doing fantastic, man. Happy to have you on the show today. Let's just start with this. Jacksonville is 3-1. How did we get here?
It's pretty surprising. Now, look, I thought they'd be 2-2 in the first four, so maybe I'm not as surprised as some. But nevertheless, 3-1 is 3-1. It's the second time since 2008 the Jaguars have started 3-1, and the first time since 2018. They got here because of the defense, man. That's one of the big points. 13 forced turnovers. It's the first time in the history of the franchise they've had 4 games in a row where they've forced at least 3 or more turnovers. They're getting the ball, and when they get the ball, they're taking advantage of it. The offense is scoring complimentary football, and the running game. I mean, Travis Etienne looks like the Travis Etienne that was here back in 2022 in the early stages of 2023. The passing game really hasn't clicked yet. It's been all the running game and all the defense, and that's how Jacksonville is 3-1 so far this year.
The thing that really stands out to me when I look at Jacksonville is the turnover differential. I guess my theory is, and this is just from watching it from the outside, it feels like what goes up must come down. And if your defense is really predicated on taking the football away, when you can't take the football away, it leaves you exposed. Is that a fair assessment of Jacksonville?
Yeah, but I think my counter to that would be, and I think with the Jaguars' counter to that would be, they know the law of averages will tell you the defense will not keep this up, because if they do, I mean, it would be the most historic defense in NFL history. You just don't force 3 turnovers for an entire season every single game. Having said that, the offense, quite frankly, Carrington, hasn't been very good, particularly the passing game. Brian Thomas Jr. doesn't have 200 yards receiving yet this year. Neither does Travis Hunter. Trevor Lawrence has been average at best. And with that being said, they're still 3-1. So I think what the Jaguars will tell you is they know that turnover differential will start evening itself out. But the hope is that the passing game finds itself, so maybe it won't matter when that time comes.
Why have there been struggles in the passing game? Because just from the outside looking in, this is a quarterback that has a capable run game. You got a legitimate number one in Brian Thomas. You spent the top five pick on Travis Hunter, and we'll talk more specifically about him here coming up in a bit. But, I mean, this is an offense that has all of the pieces to at least be trending in the right direction. What's going on with the offense?
Yeah, I think some of it's the new coaching staff. It's a completely different system that Liam Cohen has brought here from what they had with Doug Peterson. I think that's part of it. Drops have been a big part. I don't think Trevor's stats tell a clear picture. I think he's been a little bit better than his stats would indicate. The receivers have not done a good job catching the ball. I mean, Brian Thomas Jr. in particular had massive drops weeks 1, 2, and 3. Now he began to find himself a little bit last week in the win over San Francisco. He had 5 grabs for, I believe, 49 yards, which was his best game to date this year. Travis Hunter, I just don't think they're throwing the ball to him enough. Now, he did make his best play on offense last week. I'm sure you saw it, that 3rd and 15 down the middle seam route that he dove, and it was a 28-yard gain. It was a beautiful catch. You hope that's kind of the start of something for Travis Hunter. But I think the drops have played a factor. I think the new offense has played a factor. And you just hope that the passing game can catch up with the running game, because Carrington, the running game in Jacksonville, has been one of the best in the league 4 weeks in.
Right now, we're talking to Ryan Green of 1010XL in Jacksonville. Let's talk about that run game. At least the expectation in Kansas City is Chiefs fans think they can slow down that Jacksonville run game. The Chiefs' run defense has done a decent job so far, kind of taking things away. Do you think that the Chiefs are going to be able to do that when it comes to the Jacksonville rush attack?
I mean, look, could they stop it? Absolutely. The Texans stopped it in the first half. Jacksonville still was able to get 75 yards in the second half and winning that football game. Travis Etienne's 3rd in the league in rushing coming into this week, 394 yards on the ground. And look, the offensive line, it's interesting. It's not household names, right? They signed Robert Hainsey from Tampa, who wasn't even the starting center last year. Now, he started the 2 years prior with Tom Brady, but he did not, or 1 year with Brady, 1 year with Baker, but he did not start last year in Tampa. He comes to Jacksonville and is a captain on this team. He's been great 4 weeks in. They signed Patrick McCary, a guard from Baltimore, who is as versatile as anybody in the league. He's had 250 snaps at all 5 offensive line positions in his career. And I'm saying all that to say this. They didn't exactly bring in household names, but the guys they brought in have gelled very, very quickly. The San Francisco 49ers last week, albeit minus Nick Bosa, did not touch Trevor Lawrence in the passing game, did not get a sack, and did not get a quarterback hit. It's the first time in a decade that the 49ers did not touch an opposing quarterback. So not only the run blocking, but the pass blocking, it is the most underrated offensive line unit in the league, and they are the reason the Jaguars are being able to run the ball the way they are right now.
I heard some rumblings about Brian Thomas. Is everything good there? Maybe I made this up. This might have just been some tweets. I feel like there was something centered around Brian Thomas.
Yeah, he seems to be good. I mean, he was bad, quite frankly. He had awful drops against Cincinnati. He had one play where he just basically stopped running, and it caused an interception because Trevor thought he was going to keep going, and it looked like BTJ maybe made a business decision with a safety coming across the middle, and that resulted in a pick. And BTJ got a lot of grief for that in their only loss of the year, week 2 at Cincinnati. But he's come out of it a little bit. He had a game-changing play against Houston, a 46-yard catch in the 4th quarter that set up the winning score. Like I said, he had 5 grabs for 49 yards last week. He has not looked like the BTJ we saw last year, which is giving Jacksonville fans confidence, Carrington, because, again, they're 3-1, and BTJ and Hunter haven't really done anything in the passing game. If that starts clicking, there's a lot of optimism about where this team could potentially go this season.
You mentioned him. Let's talk about him. Let's talk about Travis Hunter. We were mentioning this earlier. It doesn't feel like they're using him enough at wide receiver, and he's certainly not getting enough snaps on the defensive side. It feels to me either you got to let Travis be who he was at Colorado, or you got to pick what you want him to be, and he plays 80% of the snaps on one side of the ball, and then he moonlights on the other side. It feels like right now they just have him being a very average player on 2 sides of the ball instead of really trying to be a great player on one of them.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And again, he's 4 weeks into his NFL career. I think I think people see Travis Hunter and they were expecting Randy Moss on one side and Charles Woodson on the other immediately. That's just not, you know, reality. But your point's a fair one. Now, defensively, he did not play that much in the second half against San Francisco. I think he only logged, I think, 9 defensive snaps against the 49ers. But like I said, he had that 28-yard catch on 3rd and 15 last week that you hope might open things up for him. I agree they need to use him more on the offensive side of the ball. I also think, though, that Travis Hunter, there's a couple of instances where you see him blocking downfield, opening up lanes for ETN. You have to block when you're in this Liam Cohen offense at wide receiver. And I think those two clips of Hunter just burying 49er defensive backs last week show you that he's vested. He's into what they're doing. He's fired up. They're winning, which is obviously solving a lot of problems as well. And I do believe he's got too much talent, and sooner rather than later, he is going to break out offensively.
Have you ever seen a football player dance as much as he does?
You know, it's interesting. When they drafted him back in, what was it, late April, early May, I mean, I knew who he was, obviously, and I talked to people at Colorado, but I had never met the kid. And the first time you meet him, it's just infectious, man. He's a happy dude. He loves what he's doing. He's all about two things. He's about football and fishing. If he's not playing football, he's on the water somewhere here in Jacksonville. And those are his two loves, his two passions. It's impossible not to like the guy. He's just a likable dude. His teammates are really just loving the interaction they have with him. You should see him on the practice field. It's hilarious. They're playing music, and it's a Wednesday before the San Francisco game, and he's out there doing all sorts of stuff, having his guys laughing, joking around with him. And truthfully, Carrington, that's what this team needed. This team was awful for basically a large portion of the last 15 to 20 years. The introduction of Travis Hunter, the introduction of Liam Cohen and James Gladstone and the new regime here, it is just a completely different feeling here in Jacksonville. And I think that'll be transmitted tonight for you guys through the television. I expect it to be a crazy scene here at Everbank Stadium this evening.
Yeah, I was looking this up. Jacksonville hasn't won a Monday Night Football game at home since 2011. Like, they just don't have many games like this in their franchise's history. They don't have a whole lot of wins like this. My point earlier was, we don't learn anything new about Kansas City. They've been to Super Bowls. We know what they are. But I think there is just a cloud of mystery right now against Jacksonville. There's a lot of people like me. I don't know how good Jacksonville is. Maybe they're the best team in the AFC South. Maybe we're talking about a team that wins 7-8 games and fizzles out. This is kind of one of those games, and their next 3 games feel like really important games in trying to figure out who this Jacksonville team is.
I don't know where you were in life November 8th, 2009, but that's the last time the Jaguars beat the Kansas City Chiefs. 16 years since Jacksonville beat Kansas City. The Chiefs have won 7 in a row, including that playoff game, obviously, in January of 2023. But the Jaguars have put some streaks to bed as of late. I mean, the Texans had come in here and won 9 out of 10 in Jacksonville before 2 weeks ago. Last week, the Jaguars hadn't won on the West Coast but 4 times in franchise history in the Pacific time zone. And they go out to San Francisco and win. I got another one for you. Devin Lloyd, the Jaguar linebacker, was just named AFC Defensive Player of the Month. The Jaguars hadn't had an AFC Defensive Player of the Month in 20 years. You had to go back to Mike Peterson, November of 2005. So the Jaguars are putting a lot of streaks, a lot of narratives to bed. They would absolutely love to put the losing streak to Kansas City to bed tonight. And I agree. I look at tonight like very similar to New England last night. I think New England put the nation on notice last night with what they did against Buffalo. Jacksonville, even though they just beat San Francisco, if they go back-to-back San Francisco and Kansas City, I think the nation tomorrow would be talking about how good the Jaguars are if they get the win tonight.
We don't hear a lot about Jacksonville's crowd. I imagine they're showing up for this one. This is a big-time spot. Monday Night Football, team playing well, Chiefs coming into town, and, you know, everything that comes with that. We don't really hear a lot about Jacksonville fans. How have they really embraced this team? How have they, I guess, shown their excitement as they've gotten off to a great start?
I always use this analogy, all right? So, I mean, it's easy to be a Kansas City fan when you have Mahomes and Kelce and they're killing people every week and you're winning 3 Super Bowls. Arrowhead is packed, right? Because that's what happens. Imagine Kansas City literally being the worst team in the league for 13 out of the last 15 years. And you can argue Jacksonville has been the worst team in the league for 13 out of the last 15 years. They entered 2025 with 64 wins. dating back to 2012. That was 9 fewer than anybody else in the league. I don't know any stadium that would be full when your team sucks that bad. But to the Jaguar fans' credit, they've always had a core 45, 50,000. And yeah, now people are coming back on board because they look like they have some life again. They look like they have some energy again. I go back to Liam Cohen and James Gladstone and Tony Boselli, the new regime here. The fact that a stadium is being built here, you'll hear about that tonight. The Jaguars actually aren't even going to play in Jacksonville in 2027. They're likely to play in Orlando because they're building a new stadium. It's going to open for the 2028 season, a beautiful $1.5 billion stadium. So things are certainly on the up and up here, and I expect it tonight to be a pretty crazy scene downtown.
I mean, of all the things we've talked about so far, Ryan, what I'm most impressed by is you guys have your stadium plan figured out. The Chiefs, they haven't been able to do that in 3 years. You guys got everything figured out?
We do. Yeah, I mean, it was a long time coming. And I can't tell you how refreshing it is to not be asked about London anymore and not be asked about this, that, or the other. They were never moving to London. That was absolutely never going to happen. That was, you know, people just being lazy and not really understanding what was going on here. But the fact that they got that stadium deal figured out. In fact, this is the last year. You'll see some construction around the stadium tonight if they do overhead shots. They're already starting it. Next year, you're only going to have half capacity in Jacksonville. And then 2027, they're not playing here, likely in Orlando. But then 2028, the season will open up, and it is going to be absolutely gorgeous.
Right now, we're talking to Ryan Green of 1010XL in Jacksonville for a couple more minutes here. We love asking the opposing team this question. Give me your Chiefs win-if scenario. Give me your Jaguars win-if scenario.
I mean, the Chiefs win if they don't turn the ball over. And I know they haven't turned the ball over much this year. Like we said, Jacksonville, that's kind of their thing. They forced a lot of turnovers, and they've capitalized off of those turnovers. I think if Kansas City comes out there and they obviously do what they did last week against Baltimore, then you're going to have a Chiefs victory. The Jaguar side of things, it's a lot of football PTSD is what I call it. National TV has not been good for the Jaguars. Last year, Monday Night Football in Buffalo, they lost 47-10. The last time Monday Night Football was here in Jacksonville, the Jaguars were actually 8-3 in the 2023 season. That was the game that Trevor Lawrence got hurt. And everybody joked around about, oh, they can't give him a cart to take him to the locker room. That was the last time it was here. When that game happened, Trevor gets hurt. The Jaguars lose 18 of their next 23 football games. So Monday Night Football here basically killed that generation of the Jaguars. Now here we are 2 years later. Jaguars are 3-1 for the first time in almost a decade. We'll see if this version of Monday Night Football can kind of be a resurgence. They need to survive the first quarter, first half. And I think that's funny for Kansas City fans to hear because you're on the road tonight. Jacksonville has been slaughtered on Monday Night Football. They have embarrassed themselves in front of national TV audiences time and time again. There will be nerves for the guys because they're not used to it like Kansas City is. But if they can survive the first half and if they can get into this game, I think they certainly have an opportunity to win in the second half.
Last thing, Ryan, are you a Colts believer?
They're good. The one thing I will say is this. Jacksonville beat the San Francisco 49ers last week, who have 4 wins now on the year. The 4 opponents that Indianapolis has beat have combined for 4 wins. They've gotten very lucky with their schedule. They have beaten some awful football teams. They play another bad one next week in Arizona. We're going to find out about the Colts pretty quick, though, after that, because they still have road games against you guys, against the Chargers. They have to go to Seattle. They have to play Jacksonville on the road. They have to play Houston on the road. They still have home games against Jacksonville, Houston, and San Francisco. The Colts have had it made in the shade through 5 games with their schedule. It will get increasingly tougher the deeper we get into the season.
What I love most about this season so far is, and maybe this has just been a more common theme over the last couple of years, we don't have any clue who's good right now in the National Football League. Like right now, you could ask 10 people that watch the NFL who's the best team in the NFL, and I think you might get 7 different answers. It just feels like it's very fluid, very up in the air, very week to week right now.
Oh, I agree. I mean, look, you know, who would have thought Jacksonville would be 3-1? Who would have thought New England would be 3-2? Indianapolis 4-1, to your point. Who would have thought Baltimore would be 1-4 and looking like one of the worst teams in the league? Miami as well. So, yeah, it's been a crazy start to the year, and it could get even crazier if Jacksonville pulls this off tonight.
That is Ryan Green of 1010XL in Jacksonville. Join us to get the Jaguars' perspective ahead of Monday Night Football. Ryan, man, you do great work down there, man. Appreciate you always popping on with us.
Hey, Carrington, anytime, buddy. Take care.
Absolutely. That is Ryan Green of 1010XL in Jacksonville joining us on the show. I will say this, just looking at the text line, that sometimes you guys like unify in a way that's just like very entertaining to see. When he said, hey, you know, you guys have been, you know, you guys have had some up and downs, but you don't know what it's like to be a Jaguars fan. The text line almost, yeah, we know exactly what it's like to be a Jacksonville fan. The Chiefs have certainly had some down years. I don't know if they've ever been consistently down as Jacksonville has been down, but I don't want to play the oppression Olympics when it comes to whose team has been worse. Yes, if you've been a Chiefs fan for a while, you have certainly been through a lot, and you've come out on the other side like Andy Dufresne. You deserve all the success that you are currently having right now with your football team. Maybe Jacksonville will one day get to experience the joy that you have with your football team, but no, you guys have definitely been through it if you have been a Chiefs fan for any number of years. I'm sitting here looking at it right now. I mean, from 1998 until 2003, they didn't have a winning record. I mean, you guys have been through some things. 07 to 09, they won four games, two games, and four games. It was some bad times in Kansas City, for sure.
I mean, it's been bad times, but, like, I guess where it's different is, like, the Jaguars, their number one overall pick, got the quarterback. Now, we can have a conversation of if he's the quarterback or just a quarterback, but the Chiefs got a left tackle. Like, it feels like the Jags have been through harder times because the Chiefs have come out the back end, where the Jags are still kind of toiling away in mediocrity a little bit.
I mean, the Jags had back-to-back number one overall picks. I mean, that's tough. That's tough to do. You had a prolonged stretch of being the worst team in the National Football League. Do you see it the exact same way, Rob, right now? Where, let's say that we polled 10 people. Hey, who do you think right now is the best team in the National Football League? I really think you would get 6 or 7 answers. If the Chiefs play well and dominate today, they will be in the conversation of the best team in the National Football League. I don't think that they are. Like, I wouldn't put them number one on my power ranking. But you definitely could make the argument that the Chiefs, with their defense, getting Rashee Rice back, that right now the Chiefs are the best team in the league if they go out and really handle today's game. But you look at some of the other options. Philadelphia is certainly still in the conversation. Detroit, who's coming to Kansas City on Sunday, they're in the conversation. Buffalo is still in the conversation. Like, there are 5 or 6 teams right now that I think at least have a claim on, we think we're the best team in the NFL right now.
This is what the NFL wants, and what the NFL fans tell me what makes the NFL great. There is true parity this year in the NFL. Like, I think I know who the good teams are. Like, if you were to strap me up and say, Rob, identify the good teams, we're going to give you like a shock of voltage. I think the Lions are really good. I think the Chiefs are good. I do think the Bills are good, despite losing yesterday. Like, I think I can identify the good teams. But after the good teams, I think there's a ton of I don't know teams, to your point. Like, the Jags and the Packers, which one of them is better? Do I think the Packers are better? Yes. Do the Jags have a better record? I mean, yeah. Are the Jags light years worse than the Packers? Not really. Like, there's a lot of those teams where you're like, oh, I think they're good. And then you start to kind of examine their resume. You kind of think about them more. You go, actually, I don't know. I think we have a couple good, a lot of who knows, and a lot of bad at the bottom.
Yeah, I don't know if we can play that resume game just for any team. For example, Kansas City. Kansas City right now is 2-2 and looks like they could possibly be the best team in the league. Like, they're trending in that direction. I mean, their wins are against the Giants and the Ravens. I think those are two of the bottom 8 teams in the National Football League. I just think we're at this point right now where there are so many teams that are in the middle or feel like they are trending on that side. I feel like right now you could poke a hole in just about any team's resume if you really, really want to. Philadelphia was 4-0, and no one felt really strongly about Philadelphia, and they were undefeated. It's just one of those kinds of years in the National Football League. Now, it always gets sorted out, and we obviously have a long way to go until we get there. I think Buffalo's still the best team in the National Football League. I think Detroit's the second best team in the league right now, and we can kind of go from there. But if you had a completely different hierarchy of how you would do this, I certainly wouldn't fault you. A couple of weeks ago, the Chargers had won all three games in the AFC West. They were a top five team on everybody's list, and now they've lost their next two games. I just think that's the kind of season that this is going to be. It's just going to be up and down, and you're just going to have to make evaluation on how you feel about teams.
I think that how it's going to be evaluation by feel is going to last a lot longer this year than the average year. Because you're right. Me and you don't usually play the schedule game until closer to middle of the season. We have a little more data. I think it's going to be week 10, 11, 12 before the schedule game becomes a thing, because you can so easily poke holes in it. Like, we don't follow the Colts the same way an AFC South person like Ryan Green does. Ryan Green had Indianapolis' resume ready to go. Hey, they've done this, but it's fraudulent. Watch out for X, Y, and Z. I think we can do that with a lot more teams in the NFL this year than ever before.
Coming up on the other side, we'll get you ready for the Chiefs pregame show. We are off a little bit early today. We'll get you ready. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
This is Wyatt Thompson from K-State, and you're listening to The Drive with CDOT right here on 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me tell you guys that Sports Talk on 96.5 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays in the NFL on CBS and also Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. So Ryan Green, who covers the Jacksonville Jaguars, he just gave us this new little tidbit in the last segment.
I don't know where you were in life, November 8th, 2009, but that's the last time the Jaguars beat the Kansas City Chiefs. 16 years since Jacksonville beat Kansas City. The Chiefs have won 7 in a row, including that playoff game, obviously, in January of 2023. But the Jaguars have put some streaks to bed as of late. I mean, the Texans had come in here and won 9 out of 10 in Jacksonville before 2 weeks ago.
I was in college November 8th of 2009. Rob, where were you at November 8th of 2009?
I was a freshman at the University of Kansas in November of 2009.
You got there right after the chip, man. After the chip.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I got to see a Final Four in my time. A lot of Missouri fans never experienced that in their time at their school.
Why? Was there a reason for that? There was no reason for that.
You're right. K-State fans also didn't get to experience that.
That also was unnecessary. There's no reason.
I'm equal opportunity hate back here. Roos fans, you've never experienced the tournament, so you get it.
Y'all go on the road and get one win. You feeling yourself a little bit. You feel like you can raise your hand this week in the college football roll call.
And stupid Chiefs Monday night game ruined our opening segment by a lot.
Yeah, we had to get to it. You know, the text line be real mad when you start with that when their team didn't win. They be real mad. I didn't want no issues with the text line today. So I had Rob pull this. November 8, 2009. What was the number one song in the country the last time Jacksonville beat the Chiefs?
Tell me, girl, what you say?
I know you were at the Hawk, dancing completely out of rhythm.
What to you say,
Jason Derulo?
Is Jason Derulo a Two Americas?
No, who doesn't love Jason Derulo?
He seems like one of those songs. I've been out with you before. There are certain songs come out, and you're like, it's time to go. It's time to call tonight. I feel like there's Jason and like riding solo came on now. I feel like that might be in your pantheon of it. Time to eject.
Yeah, I'm just saying is at this point in my life, if I'm at a place where they're playing, I'm riding solo, I just probably shouldn't be there. That's just not the kind of function that I feel like I need to be at. I just, that's not where I want to be. But back in 2009, a little Jason Derulo. Yeah, of course. Who had a problem with Jason Derulo? That was the number one song the last time the Jacksonville beat the Chiefs. Here was the number one movie the last time that this happened.
Deliverance. You see number 74? Well, that's my son. Way to go, bro.
Okay, here's what we got. Dead ball foul.
Was he holding?
No.
Did he hit after the whistle?
I don't believe so.
Then what was the flag for?
I don't know. Excessive blocking.
You're kidding me. Sorry, Coach. I stopped when I heard the whistle.
Where were you taking him, Mike?
To the bus. It was time for him to go home.
The Blind Side is one of those movies that if you're talking to somebody and it comes up and you're like, man, I love that movie. And the other person says, it's okay. I don't know if I want to be around you. Like, I don't know if we're simpatico. I don't know if we're on the same page. Who doesn't love the movie The Blind Side? It's a phenomenal movie. Great film. Love it. Two thumbs up. I know Sandra Bullock got nominated. Did she win for her role in that
movie?
That's
a great question.
Because she was phenomenal. A+.
Is that the best white savior movie?
You said it. I wasn't going to bring it up.
It's a fair question.
My favorite is Freedom Riders. That's my favorite. I love that movie. Good Hillary Swank. By the way,
Sandra Bullock won Best Actress for her role in The Blind Side.
I knew she got nominated. I just couldn't remember if she won or not. I'm happy you asked that question. I wasn't going to ask. I was thinking it, but I wasn't going to ask the question. I don't want text line mad at me, so I'm happy you brought it up. Is that your favorite? That's probably a lot of people's favorite.
Yeah, I'd probably say it's my favorite. Yeah. By the way, just to connect the conversation we had earlier, text line who loves to tell us how hard a time Chiefs fans had. When the Chiefs lost that game in 09, they were 1-7.
Okay.
The game that Ryan Green referenced, when the Jags last beat the Chiefs in 2009, the Chiefs lost in Jacksonville 21-24, dropping their team to 1-7.
The text line is bringing up the lawsuit and stuff. Yeah, I mean, I know that, but you don't got to ruin the movie for me. I'm here for the entertainment. Yeah, I'm sure they made up parts. I'm certain that happened.
I mean, doesn't Disney do that with all their movies?
Titans. The whole movie makes it seem like Michael Orr had never played sports until this family took him in, and then he became the greatest athlete of all time. Somebody said, what about Hardball? Hardball definitely good in this conversation. 100%. I'm telling you, I just love Freedom Riders. I really do. Hillary Swank goes in there, teaches the kid rap, poetry, saves their life. Oh, it gets me every time.
Does Green Book count?
I've never seen that before. I feel like we're actually at our limit at a capacity. And I don't know right now in the current climate. I don't know if we would take too well to these kind of movies anymore. I don't know. I think we ran out of these. I don't know who wants this on either side right now. Like, I'm not sure if either America right now is like, man, you know what we really need? That's all we need. We need a movie about a white teacher that goes into the city to help these kids. I think we got them all. Like, I would just go back in the archives and just find the movie that you think fits that category, the mood that you have. Somebody said, what about The Help? I haven't seen The Help in a very long time. Classic, though. I do remember it was very good when I saw it. I don't remember.
Recollection. I know it won a bunch of awards. I don't have any recollection of The Help.
Somebody said Criminal Minds. I think you mean Dangerous Minds with Michelle Pfeiffer.
Criminal Minds, the television show, would be a wild pick.
Dangerous Minds. Yeah, no. Dangerous Minds, which is basically Freedom Riders. It's the same movie. No, it's the exact same movie. Ooh, somebody said Glory Road. That's a good one. I love Glory Road. That is a really, really good movie. All right, we'll be back tomorrow after the game. Go Chiefs. Have a great rest of your Monday. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.